Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
I love the Tuesday start, man. Mickey was talking about that earlier. Smart, decision from college basketball to kind of showcase, be able to showcase these games on a night where everybody can watch them.
Yeah, it's just smart, if only because the alternative, what they used to do, start on Friday, was dumb for obvious reasons. You know, you get no pop heading into Friday because people are, you know, we've just had a Thursday night NFL game, and people on Friday are typically people who do what you guys do, what I do. We're getting ready for the college football weekend. Then by the time Monday comes back around and you're back in studio, you're not talking about Friday college basketball games. You're talking about Saturday college football games and Sunday NFL. And so this is different in the sense that the NFL is now, at least for the time being, behind us. We're still far enough away from college football starting and the NFL restarting. So the conversations today have been largely about college basketball. And tomorrow morning, they'll be largely about college basketball. And so to start on this day is wise. And to start with an event like the Champions Classic, where you've got four top 10 teams, four Hall of Fame coaches, maybe eight lottery picks. I mean, it's the way to launch this season.
If you look, just real quick about the Champions Classic, what are you most looking forward to learning about any of those teams tonight?
I'm really looking forward. It's funny because the number one team in the country is playing, and yet they're the sort of the undercard in that Kansas-Michigan State game. The main event is Duke and Kentucky, and it's interesting because they've almost reversed roles, probably maybe only temporarily, but for a while, it was John Calipari who always had nothing but freshmen, or almost nothing but freshmen, and it was Mike Krzyzewski who had a little bit better roster balance. Now, John's got three players on his team who have averaged at least 9 points per game previously at the Division I level, and Mike Krzyzewski doesn't even have one. In fact, Mike doesn't have anybody who's ever averaged at the Division I level even 4 points per game or four rebounds per game. And so Duke is the most talented team in the country. They've got three freshmen in R.J. Barrett, Zion Williamson, and Cam Reddish, who really might all be top five picks next June. And if that happens, Duke will become the first ever school to have three top five picks from the same team in the same draft. A lot of schools have had two in the top five. Nobody's had three, but Duke's got a real shot at that. On the other hand, Kentucky has got the roster balance. Like I said, three players who've already averaged 9 points per game at the Division I level. This is only the second time ever John Calipari's had that at Kentucky.
Wow.
And the first time, 2011-2012. And he took Terrence Jones, Deron Lamb, and Darius Miller, rather. Three players who had all averaged at least 9 points per game. They come back to school. You combine them with Anthony Davis, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, and Marcus Teague, and the result was a two-loss team that won the national championship. Now, there is no Anthony Davis on this Kentucky team, and that might ultimately be the difference, but John does have roster balance, and when he does have that, his teams are usually fantastic.
Gary, how many teams have a legit chance to win the championship? And I ask that because college football is just soaring in popularity, and basically 1.5, I'll say Alabama and maybe Clemson, so that's the half. They have a chance to win the national championship. How many have a chance to win it in college basketball?
It's never a big number, but the nature of the way we give away the championship makes it larger than it otherwise would be. In other words, if we were going to play 7-game series between college basketball teams, then the number shrinks to a pretty small one. But you know, given that it's a single elimination tournament of 40-minute basketball games, it's usually around 7, 8, 9, but it's hardly ever bigger than that. And the truth is, you know, almost any top 30 team, top 40 team, you know, has a chance to get to the Final Four. We've seen that happen. But I had a coach, and this is a very simple observation, but I do think it's worth repeating. I had a coach one time say, you know, you can be a Cinderella, you know, or even a borderline top 25 team and get to the Final Four. But once you get there, you still got to win two more games to win a national championship, and it's probably against two teams that are better than you.
Yeah.
And it just makes it very, very difficult for the George Masons, the VCUs, the Loyola Chicago's to ever actually, you know, finish it. The Butlers, back when Butler was a mid-major in the Horizon League. So the number's small, but I'll say this, all four teams that are in the Champions Classic tonight belong on the list.
Gary, what do you think about this Vanderbilt group? They're not getting a lot of national attention at all. And they Bryce Drew had a heck of a signing class, and Darius Garland, we know from you know him growing up here. What do you think about this group as they start tonight?
Well, I love Garland. Yeah. I mean, I've seen him for several years now, and I won't pretend to have discovered him because I clearly didn't. But before I knew who he was or where he was ranked in his class, I was just in a gym, I think at Peach Jam, when he was maybe playing 16 and under. He was very young, and he just stood out. And I was sitting with Jeff Capel, who's now the coach at Pitt, but at the time was an assistant coach at Duke. Mm-hmm. And I said, my God, this kid here is unreal. And I pointed at him, and Capel was like, Darius Garland from Nashville. They were already well aware of him. And obviously, he decided to stay home and play for Vandy. And you're right, Bryce is putting together an incredible class. But I will say, it's not impossible to win when your best players are freshmen, because Kentucky and Duke have done it. But it usually takes at least two lottery picks to win at a high level in the sport if you're going to be reliant on freshmen being your best players. And though Vandy has some really nice pieces, I don't know if they have that. So I think they've got a chance to be good, go to the NCAA tournament, but I agree with the people who maybe have them unranked right now. But either way, you know, given where the program was just a few years ago and where it is right now, you know, with some real quality pieces involved that provide hope, it's a good place to be, and I look forward to getting to Nashville and seeing that team.
And we'll talk about Tennessee in more depth later. I know you have about a minute left, but Tennessee, Rick Barnes going about it a little differently. They have 2 4-star players on the roster, a lot of 3-star kids. He is recruiting better now, but what do you think about this group ranked 6th in the country?
Listen, I've got them in the top 5, so I'm a believer, but I will say, if you wanted me to argue against them, the argument is this. Tennessee tapped into something very unusual. They have no top 100 high school prospects on the team, no definite NBA players, and yet they won an SEC regular season title, finished inside the top 15 at KenPom. But maybe there's a ceiling for that. You know, maybe you go from being really good to just being really good again. Because if you don't have the pro talent, the top 100 guys, maybe you can't break through and really be elite. I had somebody describe it to me this way. Like, the Memphis Grizzlies, for about a 7-year period, were very good, with an interesting combination of Mike Conley, Zach Randolph, Mark Gasol, and Tony Allen. Like, none of the individual pieces were great, but the team was good. But it was never going to be great because they lacked the star power. I wonder if Tennessee might be that at the collegiate level. Like, they found this interesting combination that works well together, and they're going to be really good, a tough out for anybody, but can they genuinely be a top 5 team in America without obvious pro prospects? I'm not sure. I'm betting yes. But I understand why people might be skeptical.
CBS columnist, TV analyst for CBS Sports, host of the Gary Parrish Show, which he's about to do in Memphis on 92.9. Thanks for the time, Gary. Always love checking in with you, man.
Hey, I appreciate you guys having me. Take care.
All right, Gary Parrish. At Gary Parrish, CBS does a great job.